May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 372. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's wall surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. 372.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 3. Jeremiah, chapter 3. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lying with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger for ever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain, and upon and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than the treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more, At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of the nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labour of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, do have mercy on us now, we pray, and enable us, draw us. O, leave us not to draw near with our lips, but our heart be far from thee. O, we pray for thy spirit, the mover of hearts, Godward. O Lord, do send thy spirit down, we pray. Quicken us. We plead thy word. The spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ upon us, as promised, shall quicken our mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Oh, we pray, Lord, grant it even this evening. It's thy sovereign gift. Lord, we thank thee that it is a gift. For Lord, we should never receive it otherwise. Lord, we thank thee wherein any of us have received it. Freely you have received, freely give. Oh, we pray, Lord, oh, since it is a gift, may we not ask for it. Lord, since thou said, O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, and without price. Oh Lord, we pray for that gift, the Holy Ghost revealing thy Son, We pray for the gift, the unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ, our dear Son. O Lord, if we do not really want him, make us to want him. O Lord, if there be that unbelief prevailing and saying in effect he will not come, or do raise up that who can tell, and do by thy own coming scatter the unbelief. Lord, we pray for thy people. Bless them indeed. Do them good. Grant them tonight thy ministry. Lord, thou knowest how each has come. As round the pool Bethesda named, the sick and wounded lay, and went from hence, though sorely maimed, restored to health away, so at the gospel pool we wait. In a disgraceful state, and lepers all unclean, Lord, send none unclean away. Oh, grant that cleansing, we do pray. Plunge us in thy crimson ocean, Lord, the solemnity of it, the blessedness to the sinner who is plunged in it, this holy, solemn blessedness. The blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, to cleanse us from all our sin. O Lord, we pray, solemnize our hearts and minds. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but our little's understood. 'Tis to God and God alone that it fully is known, that is all those sufferings, that ignominious death. But all we pray to know something of it. Where we have known it, we thank thee. But all how we need to know it again, and we pray for those that have not known it. May it please thee even this evening to make it known. Soften our hearts. Lord, we plead it. It cleanses from all sin. All sin. O Lord, help us to come in all our sin, not waiting to rid our soul of one dark blot, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Lord, the plea that it may have been shed for me. Lord, we pray. Help thy people then. Thou said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Lord, forgive our limiting of thee. Thou art limitless. Thou art the infinite God. Thou sittest upon the circle of the earth. Sitst on no precarious throne. Nor borrowest leave to be. And yet, Lord, left to ourselves, we think thee as one altogether, such an one as ourselves. Though we would deny it in our words, how in our thoughts and actions we show it. Lord, forgive and save us from this. And all our sins, and all the power of Satan, make us sober, vigilant. For our adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, grant us that faith to resist him. There's no other way of resisting him. Oh, Lord, we thank thee that there is a way whereby Satan has once been conquered by thy dear Son. And a way, Lord, whereby he may be conquered in thy people's experience, by thy Spirit revealing thy Son. O manifest him, Lord. For this cause was the Son of God manifested, that he should destroy the works of the devil. And Lord, when he is manifested to thy people, the devil's works are destroyed, and in no other way. O Lord, we pray, have mercy. Help us to pray, but not rest on our prayers. O Lord, help us to pray without ceasing, but not think we're good because we pray. O Lord, who bless us with that favour of access, that favour of lying at thy feet, that favour, Lord, the hymn writer speaks of, the feeblest prayer, if faith be there, exceeds all empty notion. Lord, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. But Lord, we don't get there unless thou dost bring us there. Or we confess the perverseness of our nature. We prize the privilege of prayer, but oh, what backwardness to pray. Lord, though on the Lord we cast our care, yet how often we bring our cares away with us, proving we have not cast them upon thee. Oh Lord, help us to pray. Teach us to pray. Keep us praying. Lord, have mercy. We thank thee for thy mercies. It is of thy mercy we are not consumed. Were it not for thy covenant, Lord, there would be no hope. Amidst the roaring of the sea, my soul still hangs her hopes on thee. Thy constant love, thy faithful care is all that saves me from despair. We despair of ourselves. We despair of others. Lord, we've got a case that neither we nor others can deal with. No human arm can reach our case. The work exceeds all nature's power. But Lord, thou art God, and there is none else. Lord, oh, wilt thou show thyself again? Wilt thou come again? Wilt thou turn us again and cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved? Oh, may it be so. Lord, then do bless this people. Do more for them than they ask or even think. To the glory of thy name, Lord. Pour them out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Uphold them in their trials. Sanctify them to them. O Lord, we do pray. Thou bid each furnace yield some patient gain, growth in grace, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that conviction of sin, Lord, that correction, so precious. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. O Lord, do not let these things come and go and have no gracious effect. Lord, oh, we do pray that thou wouldst sanctify to us our troubles. Lord, bring us to thy feet, lay us low and keep us there. Make us more sick of self in this world and more fond of thee. Lord, to trust thee more, to lean more wholly upon thee. Thou hast said thou wilt sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Thou wilt purify the sons of Levi, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Oh, we prayed, and now thou art sitting, watching over us in the furnace. Bless us with that faith that is give Job. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Give us wisdom, Lord, in all our matters. We come into those things and all our wisdom is swallowed up. O Lord, help us to cry. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Bless our children, our young people. We thank thee where they are found in thy house. Lord, we pray thou bless them. Bless them indeed. Speak to them, Lord. Oh, do favour them. The spiritual home. A place where the Lord meets with them. And they meet with him. The house of God. Lord, make them true believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, according to thy will, add them unto thy church. Add believers unto thy church. Make them as the salt of the earth. Make them as a city set on an hill which cannot be hid. O Lord, help them to take all their matters to thee. There's no matter too small, none too great. The hairs of your head are all numbered, thou said. And this man, because he hath an unchangeable priesthood, is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Lord, we pray, bless this people with a living ministry. According to thy will, bless them with the fulfillment of the promise we read. I'll give you pastors according to mine own heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. O Lord, look upon Zion, the boar out of the wood doth waste her, that's broken down her hedges, thou art grieved. Lord, few come to thy solemn feast. We thank thee, Lord, for the good number that attend here. Thou knowest how in so many places it is not so. But Lord, merely to come here is not to come to the feast. Eat, O friends, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Lord, oh, do pour out thy spirit that the feast may be set, and people brought in to eat the feast. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Oh, Lord, save us from a religion which has everything except the one thing needful. Lord, have mercy. We plead for Britain, overrule those in authority, restrain the evil. Spare, we beseech thee, much deserved wrath. Do not completely unchurch this land. Lord, yet, be favourable, we beg. Pardon all we ask wrongly. So many things, Lord, we haven't prayed for. Lord, help any whose cases have not been mentioned. Assure them they're not forgotten of thee. Make up and give him where we fail to ask. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 736. Show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. 736.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 3, reading verses 14 and 15. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding. The Lord says in the book of the prophet Hosea, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I make thee as Admah, as above him? Those nations, those cities he destroyed, he cannot. And that is why he speaks here to his people. All saving religion is the work of God. Salvation consists, as Mr. Popham said once, revelation, revelation, revelation. A revelation of God, a revelation of yourself. We do not learn these truths as schoolboys learn their tasks. It is the Lord, your God, child of God, that teaches you to profit, which leads you by the way that thou shouldest go. Whenever you have taken a step in the right direction, the Lord has led you in that step. You never took a step in the right direction of yourself. You never had a right thought of yourself. Not even a right desire. And if the Lord didn't say to his children what he says here, they'd never turn. They'd go and go and go. He calls them in his word sheep. My people have been lost sheep. It has been often observed that many animals, when they go astray, can find their way back. But not the sheep. That's one way in which the name sheep aptly applies to the Lord's people. But they've got a good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Turn, O backsliding children. In this verse then, the Lord describes his people as both children and his wife. And they are so. They are the sons and daughters of God. And by the deed, the gift of the Father, and by the redemption price Christ had paid for them, they are his wife too. Turn, O backsliding children. There is not one of the Lord's people that is not a backslider. The Lord says so himself. He says, my people are bent to backsliding from me. It is not necessary to be a gross outward backslider to be a backslider. Indeed, that is where the backsliding begins, in the heart. You know, if backsliding has got to the point where it is outwardly manifest, it started a good while ago. It started in your heart. It started in your closet. It started in that secret between the Lord and your soul. The neglect of prayer. Mr. Frank Gosden once said, if you want to test the health of your soul, put your finger on the pulse of closet prayer. Oh, the Holy Spirit, reveal, convince us of the sin of it. Are there not those, and the Lord has become with them, and he says, perhaps years ago, and now he has need to say to them, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord. When the Spirit first led you to the throne of grace, when you in God-given simplicity poured out your heart before him, when you went to him with your perplexities, when you poured out your heart unto him, oh, and you delighted in it, you found him to be a refuge to your soul and the word of God. You picked that up in preference to other books, in preference to the newspaper. You didn't read it just as a duty. You read it because you were convinced it was the Word of God, and what your soul needed was to be found there if the Holy Spirit would but kindly show it to you there. And you have backslidden from that. And then with regard to sin, when the Lord convinces a person of sin, what a tenderness there is. Nehemiah speaks of the desire for this. May I from every sin, as from a serpent flee, abhor to touch the thing unclean, rather choose to die. Is it so with you now? Or has there not prevailed a hardness, a carelessness? You know, this is one way in which, and it can only be by the Lord's especial help and favour, it is sometimes profitable to look back. Turn, O backsliding children. And then, with regard to the house of God, how solemn if the backsliding gets to the point where there is a forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together. But in that, we may backslide before it gets to that point. Oh, sinner, those of you to whom this text speaks, the Lord's children, when the Lord quickened you, oh, what a place the house of God was made to you. You went there and often you got wounded, but you had to keep going back. And then you got some helps. Perhaps in the Lord's time obtained a blessing. Christ preached into your heart. You see, while this exercise was going on, while the Lord, having quickened your soul, kept you lively, oh, what a grief it was to you if there was something prevented you going. You know, it cheers a pastor's heart, it cheers the hearts of the Lord's people when they see people come to the house of God. And sometimes they look on them and they realize those people have had to make an effort to come to the house of God. They could have easily said, well, there's a distance. I've got my work. But my dear friend, if the Lord is working in your heart, there's one or two things that come over everything else. I've got a never dying soul. There is but one thing needful. And I hope that one thing needful that is preached to that place may be preached into my heart. Well, but then, that backsliding when we do not come to the house of God as we formerly did. This may apply to a minister, I'm not just preaching to you. I have to preach to myself. We do not approach preaching, we do not approach hearing as we once did. There's a backsliding in it. Lose not the exercise. We may blame all sorts of things for a lack of profit, when really the cause is our backsliding. Turn, O backsliding children. Well, there are many other ways in which I might speak of this backsliding. You see, in every aspect of the walk, and that is where the grace of God is really manifest. Remember what the Lord Jesus said. By their fruits ye shall know them. Turn, O backsliding children. If there has become a carelessness in our walk, if there has become a mingling with the world, what an evidence of backsliding. If business, family, whatever it else be, has come between you and the Lord, what an evidence of backsliding. Turn, O backsliding children. You see, what is it that the Lord speaks of so solemnly in this chapter with regard to this backsliding? He sets forth that we do not backslide from him to nothing. We backslide from him to others. If we backslide from prayer, from putting our trust in him, from asking him to save us, from asking him to deliver us, from asking him to appear for us, from asking him to guide us, we go to another, self. What foolish worms are we, how prone to start aside, and in our troubles flee from Jesus' wounded side, to trust in self or something base instead of trusting sovereign grace. In those few ways that I've mentioned concerning the backsliding, we have turned unto another. We have put our affections somewhere else. Our trust, our delight, our love. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said, now abideth faith, hope, charity. By that we understand love. But he says the greatest of these is charity, love. Sinner, the religion that saves is a religion of love. God is love. God is love. The spouse says, didn't she? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Faith works by love. Who has your love? But for the special grace of God, all others have your love, except Christ. And the Lord, here he speaks to his people and calls them. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. You're facing the wrong way, you're looking in the wrong direction. But I want to emphasize, and I would be failing in preaching the Word of God if I didn't emphasize the truth that this is the sole prerogative of God. The church in the psalm, she prays, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved. Well, how does he turn them? He powerfully tells them to turn. I've sometimes spoken of the true child of God, quickened by the Spirit, as being like the needle of a compass, which may, by other influences, flicker away from the magnetic north, but because of the power of the magnet, must go back. If you are called by grace, if you have a new nature given unto you, and that's the children, you must be brought back. You must be turned. And it's by the power of God alone. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. There's the secret. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And if you never know what it is, to be turned by the thus saith the Lord, what evidence do you have of being a child? What evidence do you have of being married to the Lord. And what a solemn position if you don't have any evidence of being a child of God. You don't have any evidence of being married to Christ. For I am married unto you. For I am married unto you. Christ is the bridegroom of his church. His heart's affections were set on her before time began. He says, my delights were with the sons of men. It's the church that his father gave him. It's the church that his father brings to him. This is set forth in the order of the marriage ceremony. The father, if he be alive, brings his daughter to the groom. No man cometh unto me, said Jesus, except the Father which has sent me draw him. I am married unto you. Now, the Lord help me to speak a few things concerning this sacred, holy, eternal relationship. Firstly, the wonder of it. Those of you that are familiar with Ruth Bryan's letters may recall that she wrote a letter to a young friend of hers on her wedding day. And Ruth Bryan, being so favoured with the Holy Spirit and the nearness of Christ through that blessed Spirit, what could she write of to that young bride on her wedding day but the better bridegroom than the one she was going to marry that day? And what she says of him, I can't remember all of it, but a few things. She says this: Christ's bride, she had no beauty in herself that he should desire her. Christ gives her his. She had no love to him at all, but rather enmity. We will not have this man to reign over her, over us. But he wins her affections. She has no suitable garment for this marriage ceremony. The Lord decks her in his righteousness. She has no beauty. He gives her his. She has nothing. She's nothing but a poor, lost, ruined sinner. He takes her as she is and makes her rich. Rich within and rich without. The king's daughter is all glorious within. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of wrought needlework. For I am married unto you. We might say, well, how could a person forget this? If you know yourself, you see, if you know yourself, the Lord will, by showing you yourself, answer these questions. There was that man in the Old Testament, I cannot remember his name, but his case comes to my mind now in this context. And he was told by the prophet what dreadful thing he would do. This was prophecy. And the man said, am I such a dead dog as that, to do that? He couldn't believe the prophecy he was told about himself. But he did it. Because the prophecy of the Lord, every single part of it, will come true. But the Lord reminds his people of it. I'm married unto you. Now what does marriage, what is so clearly set forth here is this. And this is God's order in marriage. It all flows really from that which was in the mind of God before ever the institution of marriage was given by God. And it's this soul bond between Christ and his church. And what is it? One husband. One husband. I am married unto you. These that you've gone after, you're not married to them. I will not share you with these. I will not share you with these. And one thing is certain, the backsliding daughter does not sensibly enjoy her husband. When we backslide from prayer, we are the loser. When we backslide from the prayerful reading of the Word of God, we are the loser. When we backslide from an exercise coming to the house of God, when we backslide in our behavior, we are the losers. What have we lost? Christ. You say that's impossible. In the fullest sense, yes, it is impossible because, child of God, you're married to him. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What I mean is you have lost him with regard to any sensible enjoyment of him. Give me a precious glimpse of thy sweet face. You're not asking for that, are you? When you're backsliding. That's what the Lord calls you to turn to. Oh, may we hear him tonight. Turn, O backsliding children, for I am married unto you. These lovers that you've chosen. What inferior husbands. What have they to give? Nothing compared to Christ. They don't give anything. All that came before me, he said, were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. For I am married unto you. There is then this side of it that I've just briefly spoken of. Then there is the other side of it. For I am married unto you. I will have you back. Because I am married unto you. Again, I think of the marriage ceremony. For richer, for poorer, in sickness, and in health. The Lord takes his bride, espouses her unto him in loving kindness, in faithfulness, in truth. The wonder of it, as he speaks at the beginning of the chapter, they say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. He says, they say this, but I say this. I say, yet return to me. How can it be? Is the backsliding daughter, is the backsliding child in a condition now wherein Christ no longer loves her? Is she in a condition now wherein Christ is unable to put her right? Is she in a condition now wherein her sins have exceeded the power of his precious blood to cleanse her? No. Is she now in a condition whereby Christ cannot receive her? No. Him that cometh unto me, he said, I will in no wise, O sinner. May the Holy Spirit write those two words in the heart of the sinner here tonight that feels, oh, how could he receive me? He says, I will in no wise cast out. For I am married unto you. And then one or two other thoughts, as the Lord may help me. This marriage, this closeness, the dwelling together. I am married unto you. You see, we may often mourn the Lord's absence, but I believe he will show us why he is absent. I will go and return unto my place, he said, until they acknowledge their offence. In their affliction, they shall seek me early. What I'm trying to set forth on this point is this. The Lord is speaking to his people like this. I am married unto you. Closer than anyone else in the world to you. Where are you now in respect to that truth? I'm married unto you. But then this thought comes to my mind. Oh, the care, the care. I believe this is one of the reasons why the Lord lays on his people cares, heavy things, troubles, burdens. And in the end, he brings his people to this in these things. Now, where are you? These other lovers that you've gone after, can they help you in this matter? They're each brought, those people are brought to that place. I believe it's the words of Christ. And as we invariably find in the Word of God where Christ speaks, is also the language of his people. No man careth for my soul. I'm married unto you. I've promised I'll care for you. I've promised I will cherish you. I've promised I'll protect you. I've promised I'll provide for you. It's my covenant. The marriage union may be spoken of as a covenant. Till death us do part in marriages between men and women, forever and forever, in respect the union between Christ and his bride. Return. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married. So the Lord sets forth here the ground he'll have you turn to him. Covenant ground. Covenant ground. You didn't deserve him to take you as his wife. He did. You don't deserve him to have you back, but he says he will. Look not at yourself in turning. Look to him. That's what he means when he says, turn, turn. Oh, backsliding children. And the thought comes to my mind now. Another aspect of the backsliding with regard to this word turn, and it's this. Those here this evening who have known the time of the espousal, the Spirit calls you to look to Christ. What beauty the Lord, the Spirit showed you in him. When you had your eye fixed upon him, then it was well with you. You're backsliding if you're pouring on yourself. You're backsliding if you're looking to yourself. And the Lord here in calling his people to come to him, he says, turn, turn. Paul writes into the Corinthians, he says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so he may beguile you from the simplicity that is in Christ. This turning is conversion. We need reconverting again and again and again. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I will take you, one of a city and two of a family. What a word this is. I will take you. Poor sinner here tonight. In the place you're in, the condition you're in, is so disgraceful. You're so helpless. You would turn, but you can't. You would go right, but you cannot. You would find your way back, but you cannot. Or perhaps you have to mourn. You haven't even the will. You don't of yourself. Well, in this word, I will take you, is the answer to all that. I will take you just as you are. In the previous verse, he says, only acknowledge thine iniquity. When he says that, he doesn't speak as though it's a little thing to acknowledge thine iniquity, but rather as this is the work of the Spirit in bringing about a restoration. Not correcting yourself, but brought by the Spirit to fall flat before him and say, woe is me, I'm undone. I will take you. I will take you. Oh, the love of the Lord Jesus. The love of the Lord. The condescension of the Lord. The compassion of the Lord. I will take you. That man that had fallen among thieves. A certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was. Looked upon him, had compassion on him, and went to him. Poured in the oil and the wine. Bound up his wounds. Put him on his beast. Own beast. That's what you need Jesus to do. To put you on his own beast. Fear not, daughter of Zion, thy king cometh unto thee. Lowly and having salvation, sitting on a colt, the foal of an ass. Took him to an inn. I'll take you. Isn't this, child of God, what you knew? Isn't this what you've backslidden from? The Lord taking you in his arms, taking you by his powerful hand, and leading you. You being nothing, and he being all. One of a city. This is a scarce work. Are there few that be saved? Strive to enter in at the straight gate. When he cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? One of a city, two of a family, the sovereignty of God, the purpose of God in it. There's no such thing as a family grace. Grace doesn't flow from father to mother. Grace doesn't necessarily dwell in two brothers or two sisters or brother and sister, but sometimes it does. The Lord is gracious in this. I'll set the solitary in families, he says. And just in case the devil is saying to anyone here tonight, well, you're not one then, because there's already two in your family that the Lord has taken. So there can't be a third, because he says here too. Well, there were three of that in that little house at Bethany. So when the Lord says here too, he doesn't limit it to two. He's rather using it to show his sovereignty, in that he might, and he does, take one from a city and two from a family. And I will bring you to Zion. And as he do so, he sends out his light and his truth. That's the two things that are needed. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. That is, he grants his spirit upon the word. He reveals his son. Conduct, bless, guide thy sinner train to Calvary where the Lamb was slain, and with us there abide. Show us the place where grace abounds. Conduct us to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. Bring you to Zion. What a blessed place it is. The mount of his grace. What a different place. Where do these sinners deserve to be taken? Sinai, and consumed by the lightning. Burnt up, if so much as a beast touch it, shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Doth no man condemn thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's Zion. At Zion there is forgiveness. At Zion there is grace to overcome the power of sin. Now I bring you to Zion. The apostle, in writing to the Hebrews, he says, you're not come to the man that might be touched. You come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirits of just men made perfect. You see, when we're backsliding, we're miles away from all these things. We're backslidden from that place wherein we held communion with the Lord and with his people. We're miles away from that place where we enter into anything of what the angelic host said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. But God says he'll bring you back to that place. To the spirits of just men made perfect. Just men. Do you ever wonder whether just men, if they returned to this earth, would have anything to do with you? If Paul had to say to the Galatians, I stand in doubt of you, what would he say of some of us? But you see, if we're led of the same spirit as Paul was led, we come to the spirits of just men made perfect. We come into the experiences that those men knew. A communion. Not with those men directly. That's idolatry. But in being brought to Christ. Then every member of the church is brought together in Christ and to Jesus, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What a blessed place to be brought to the blood of sprinkling. To be really brought in faith to the fountain. To be really brought from our hearts to plead that blood which did for sin atone. That's coming to the blood of sprinkling. If we are really found coming in true and living faith, pleading the blood, not with our lips, but with our hearts. That's not backsliding. That is returning. And he that comes to the blood of sprinkling will in the Lord's time have that blood sprinkled on them at the same place. And to Jesus, I am married unto you. Does the Lord Jesus have to say to you, why are we strangers to one another? O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy countenance. Thy countenance is comely. Thy voice is sweet. I'm married unto you. I love to hear your voice, he says. I love to see you. Though you say I'm black, when you come to me and tell me I am black, look not upon me, I'm black. I love to see thee in that condition. I'll bring you to Zion. Will you say, this is the point, and I come back to it now. God says, he'll bring you to this place. He doesn't say, now you come to Zion. No, he says, turn, O backsliding daughter, child, I will take you. And so the turning is when a sinner feels in their heart of the Lord's voice, oh, a movement toward him in looking to him and pleading with him. Lord, bring me. All my wastes, Lord, do repair them each. Lord, gather me. Take me from where I am. Really, we might speak of this as being an interpretation of the Lord's words concerning the finding of his sheep. What think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99 and go after that which he has lost till he find it? And if he come to you and say, turn, O backsliding children, he's come and found you. Turn, and I'll take you from where you are and bring you to Mount Zion. And highway shall be there. Where? Wherever Jesus Christ comes and finds his people. He doesn't set them to find their way partway there. There isn't such a way. He is the way. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. And I'll bring you to Zion, and I'll give you pastors according to mine heart. What a promise. I thought in connection with this word of his word in Isaiah, thy teachers shall no more be removed into a corner anymore. When the Lord either physically removes a pastor, withholds that privilege or the gospel ministry, or withholds the blessing. You can have a pastor, but without the Lord's blessing, he's not your pastor. But if the Lord bless his word through him who he hath appointed a pastor, he's your pastor. I'll give you pastors. You personally. Now I know that thou art the Lord's servant and his word is with thee. The power, and I will give you pastors. I haven't time now. And it wasn't principally this verse that was on my mind in coming here, but it's so inseparably connected with it. And surely it is a desirable thing, because it is the Lord's promise. It is the Lord's order. Though undoubtedly it cannot be denied that there has been a place, and an honoured place, and still is, and a purpose in the Lord's Church of itinerant ministers. Yet, the New Testament church order is, and he gave some pastors. And what should they, what sort of pastors will they be? According to mine heart. How can that be? The Lord is in that man. That man is a man of like passions as you are. But if he's the Lord's servant, and if the Lord has given him to you, and he is in that man, he by his grace is according to God's heart. Preach the word. Instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Discipline, chastening, admonition, reproof, direction, consolation. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. But above all, what else? Above all else, what is it? I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's a man after God's own heart, isn't it? It comes to me now. I thought of it earlier, but it went from my mind, and it comes back now. This fruitfulness. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I am married unto you. Without the husband, the woman can't bear children. Without Christ, the bride can't bear fruit. And this is all the fruit. From me is thy fruit found. What a solemn thing if we've begotten strange children. Children that are not Christ. Fruits that are not for a living union with Christ, the living vine. A pastor according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. To break the bread of life, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. You have no life in you. This is that exercise that the Lord puts in the hearts of his servants. Especially it is so, I feel, put in the heart of a pastor. To feed the people. With what end they might grow. That's the purpose of feeding, isn't it? Growth in grace. And in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, feed you with knowledge and understanding. When the Spirit opens the eyes of his people's understanding through a faithful preaching of Christ. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Turn, O backsliding children. I'll give you pastors according to mine heart. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ramsbottom is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Jabez Rupp next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 731. Heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch, deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. 731.
Thank thee for bringing us through once more. Above all, we thank Thee for the wonderful truth that Thou dost proclaim to poor, wretched, undone, backsliding sinners. We pray, may they remain with us, and we may be turned and brought by Thee to Zion. Forgive all that's been of self. Keep us safe now. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.